Praise the Lord. God is a good God, amen. I was just thumbing through all my paperwork in my Bible, you know, sort of decluttering, shall we say, as you do. And I found this. The visions and goals for 2020. I'm going to read them to you because actually we actually filled quite a few of them, praise God. One was reaching out to the community, and I said it starts with prayer, which will empower each of us, and use that scripture for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. To reach out into the community, we needed also to use that scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved. In other words, get yourself ready, because somebody is going to come along, Shirley, and they're going to be, I'm glad I'm not cross-eyed then, I'm glad you can tell. Somebody's going to come along and they're going to be asking questions. And I don't need you to turn around and say, well, go see Andrew, because there'll be a long line. And don't get that wrong when I say that. What, you know, the Bible school that we had a vision for and purpose was to begin to part of our main scripture of Ephesians 4 verse 12, equipping the saints for their work in ministry. It's your work in ministry. You know, God, you're going to hear those words from the Lord Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now that's great, isn't it? You know, but it's Jesus is joyful about what you're doing. And you might say, well, I'm not doing a lot, but I'll tell you what, if you're doing anything, you're probably doing a lot more than lost into some churches. No matter how small it is. And that is important. And you know, in a car, every cog in the gearbox needs to be available and ready to work. And you know, if there's one missing, we're in trouble. And so we need constantly to be keep moving forward. So keep on studying, keep on asking your questions. It's okay to ask questions. You know, it's not, oh, I'm thick, I don't know the answer. No, you've never been told the answers. You've never been told how to dig into this Word of God. So therefore, we understand that. We know that. And guess what? We're always digging and looking for the answers. We keep finding things ourselves being revealed to us. That's part of Jesus revealing His magnitude, revealing His complex person that He is, and the Word of God, how complex it is, and yet simple it is. It's like a diamond. It's just a simple stone. But when you give it to a skilled craftsman, and he cuts on it, and in there He reveals different things, different lights and colours from that very stone. When you look at the original, most of us would look and say, it's only a piece of rock, isn't it? And we'd throw it away. You wouldn't recognise it to be the diamond that's in your engagement rings, lady, you know. That's not the rock that's in my ring. One of it, it's part of it, but it's the way it has been cut. And you know, God, through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, wants to polish us, to cut us, to shape us, so that when the light of God comes upon us, it, wow, people go, whoa, what is it you've got? What is it you're doing? And so it's important for us. Thirdly, the work of faith. You know, in James it says, show me your faith. And he goes on to say that, because faith without works is dead. And we need to be a people, not just, and I mean, I've met him in my what, 60 years nearly of walking with Jesus. I've met people who were saying, I'm walking in faith. The problem was they're walking in somebody else's faith, living on somebody else's bank balance, etc. And they weren't walking in faith. They were just conning people. I once nearly... No, I better not say it like that, did I? I did, Steve. I nearly necked somebody, you know. There they were, bragging how they were living in faith. And I started to question them. I'd got my table. They were at my house, and I got my table strewn with paperwork. I was working on the business in the early days, and paperwork was a big thing. And this person, you know, I'm working like 18 plus hours a day, church, business, and whatever else I had to do. And this guy's swanning around doing all, yeah. That's all. And I started just quizzing him that night in the house. I think we were ready to do a Bible study. And he said, I'm living by faith. Because I was on about, why don't you find a job? You know, you've been involved in drugs and alcohol. So you need to find something to do. I'm living by faith. So I said, are you paying your rent to this lady you're staying with? I'm not paying her any rent. At that point, I blew. And I told him that night, I said, you go and sign on and begin to look for a job. I said, if you haven't done that by tomorrow afternoon, I will be down at that house and I will pack your bags and I will throw your bags out on the streets and you will be following them. He says, you won't do that. I said, don't test me. I tell you what, that afternoon I went down. He'd signed on. You know, don't walk on somebody else's faith. God has given you, each and every one of you, the same measure of faith that He gave to me, to Daniel, to Steve, to Helen, to everybody. He's given us that same measure of faith. All we've got to do now is begin to use it. That's all we've got to do. Yet you might fall over occasionally, but guess what? Just get up and get going again. That's all that matters. The only time you're ever beaten is when you never get up. You know, if you stay down, you're beaten. If you get up, you're not beaten. Still walking, aren't we, Louise? Praise God. Amen. You know, so keep doing it. Do the works. One of the things that we were looking towards was new kitchen and toilets. Haven't got there yet. Because we're going to do some basic cookery classes and English classes and doing those. We're doing the English classes. Wanted to do a community cafe. But 2020 and 2021, COVID hit. And, you know, locked us down. But moving on from there, we also said we wanted a new office upstairs and a classroom. Well, we've got the office. Got the classroom at the back. We wanted to raise the platform and have a baptismal area. Well, we modified it, but we've got it. You know, we wanted to improve the heating system. We've done it. Hallelujah. Missions work support. We wanted to improve that support that we're doing. We've done it. And we're doing it. You know, we want to work with youth and schools. Schools were basically shut down for us and even themselves. So, we haven't missed those. But I look at those and think, wow, praise God, we did this, we did that. You know, these were the things of vision that God had set for us to begin to do, you know. And we need to look forward now in 2022. God's not finished yet. We're thinking of an extension for a toilet and a kitchen. So now we need to start praying in finance and an architect and find the best way to do it. So praise God. I just found that in a Bible case just before we were literally leaving the house. And I thought, wow, yeah. And I'd marked up and I thought, praise God, yeah. And I just again want to say thank you to everybody that's been involved. We even got the fence painted. I mean, the fence is a marathon job. There's just two or three panels left to finish. They'll be done. As soon as the weather turns, they'll be done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, it's great. It's a blessing where we've seen so many people just turning their hands. You say, well, I've never done it before, but I'll have a go. Amen. Praise God. Amen. There's a lot of things that I've never done before, but I just say, well, I'll have a go. You know, and if I get it wrong, I get it wrong. But if not, God will help me get it right. And, you know, this is what's happened. And so, you know, as we move into prayer, I want to see us improving the times to when we come together in prayer. I want to look at us being able to have some semi-all-night prayer meetings where we'll begin to intercede for this area and for Doncaster, South Yorkshire, and our nation. And, you know, we've been talking. I know I've done 6 sessions. I looked on the internet site just to find out where I'd finished off, and I've done 6 sessions on spiritual warfare. And praise God. And we haven't covered the whole subject as of yet. And but I had to, in fact, I had to listen online to find out where I'd finished. So, which I did, I found out. So praise God, that was good. Useful, isn't it? When you can, you know, I should have made notes on the notes, but I'm thinking now, did I do that or what? You know, because sometimes I'll go home and it suddenly I'm thinking, get another thought, and you're penciling things in, and you haven't turned the computer on to put them on the computer, and so praise God. So, you know, you and I have to begin to realize that there is power in the tongue. The words that we speak, we can speak life or death. That's where we're at. You know, when people come out for healing, we begin to speak healing into their bodies. We begin to speak life into their bodies. And some of you have been touched by the power of God, just through the words of the name of the Lord Jesus, and through that word of declaration of healing, and you've stepped out in faith. You see, your faith has been operated. You see, you might turn around and say, well, I don't have much faith, but you came out, Shirley, sorry to use you, but you came out and you felt the presence of the power of God. But you see, when you walked out on what measure of faith that you had at that time. That's what you did. And you might say, well, I didn't have any faith. You did, because you came to Jesus through faith. So immediately you come to Christ, you've suddenly got the faith of God. It's like little Joshua. He's got as many muscles as David has. Believe it or not. But he can't do what David does. Now, if Joshua, as he grows up, sits there and says, well, you see, all my life I've never been able to do what David can do, so I'm just going to sit here. That's not, you know, that is never going to cause him to grow and develop, is it? So he has to then begin to exercise himself in different ways, which he already is doing. Hallelujah. He's having a go with his lungs at times, isn't he? You know, he's trying to catch up with David on his lungs, you see, to be a singer. But, you know, and now his legs are beginning to go a bit, aren't they? And so, and these things are being exercised. And so for you and I, in the things of God, the same measure of faith. You need to exercise it. When God says, take a step of faith, you might say, well, I can only do just that much, Lord. He said, that's fine, exercise it. Take that step of faith. Some of us have got to the point where it's like, you know, we stride out. But we didn't get there just like that. It was a process of trusting God. It's a process of seeing the Word of God working in our lives, and that we begin to trust the Word of God more and more and more. Yes, Lord, I know your Word works. How it works, I've no idea. I cannot describe to you how it exactly works, because that is a mystery of the kingdom of God. You know, some of us would, and I've probably done it myself, you know, 7 steps to seeing God deliver people, or 7 steps to healing, or 7 steps to prosperity, and you know, they're all the 7 steps, I'll tell you. And It's not about that. It's about your faith. It's about, more and more I've realized it's about your and mine relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. You see, God's kingdom is relationship driven. Hallelujah. You know, and some folks find it difficult to get into relationships and find hugs and what have you, and you know, but don't worry, God's on the throne. Hallelujah. God's doing it. And you know, some of you say, well, I've been hurt through all these years. That's all right. God's going to pour in the oil and the wine, and he's going to minister into those hurts, those wounds, so that you are that complete person in Christ Jesus. You know, that's what it's about. Jesus died on a cross to make you and I complete in him. Yeah. Hallelujah. And today, that's the journey. That's part of some of our journeys. You know? And so we walk in, and you know, every one of us is walking in that journey. But in that journey, there are things we have to deal with outside, demonic forces. The devil comes against us. You see, he's not going to leave you alone just because you're just a toddler and you've just grown into faith and you're just coming along. He's like, I'm having that one. Because what he is doing, he looks for the weakest. Every wild animal that's out in the jungle looks for the vulnerable. Is that right? So when you join in that family, you know, if you're out in the wilds, it's in the herd, isn't it? You know, you join in with the spiritual herd, shall we say, in God. We join the family of God. Then there is the nurturing that comes from the older family members. Protection. Encouraging. Assistance. Showing you, this is how you get the food. This is how you do it. This is, you know, and you begin to practice. Practice makes perfect. Yeah? You've all been told that. And whatever you do, do not get to the place where you are in that situation where you're saying, I am not good enough. Please, don't say it. Watch your words. Words are powerful. You heard me? I started off with words are powerful. Very powerful, and you can either be very negative or you can be quite very positive, standing on the promises of God. God's word says it, I believe it. In that, because I believe it and God said it, he has to do it, right? Not me, you see. We fall down, we become negative because we don't know how it can be done. True. We fall down on that. I don't know how it's going to happen. And then you start to get negative. I told you about this building situation. And people, oh, this, and they're all negative inputs. I had a choice. Do I take on board this negativity? Or do I reach back 20 years? Wow. To a promise from a man in America that gave it from God direct to grace. Now, do I reach back to the man who's probably never been in England? He's certainly never been in Doncaster. And do I believe what he said?
Yes.
He was the mouthpiece of God as far as I was concerned. And so I went back to those words. Still got them on a tape even. Don't we? We found it. As we came to the point of finishing this, and it was like, yes. We remembered it right. And so a form of spiritual warfare, we started to declare the promise again. We weren't letting go of it, right? We declared that promise again. That's part of spiritual warfare. You take hold with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then you take hold of the promises that God has given to you. Now, this guy got a track record of when he said it, it really happened. He wasn't a fly-by-night, flying prophet and fly out and you never saw him again, never heard anything of him. He was a guy with a relationship with God, trusted. So, we've had it where people have come in here and said, oh, I've got a word. I remember one time, I said it the other day to Alicia, I remember one time, A person came into Leisha, came into the church, and all of a sudden we were having cups of tea, and Leisha was in the kitchen doing some washing up. And as I walked through, I heard this person, "Oh, I've got a word from God for you." So I stopped immediately. Shepherd stopped and he listened. Load of rubbish. So then he took the person, Leisha, who'd received it, and said, "I need to speak to you." And then a few days later, he was going to speak to the person who gave it, and I think they left and we never saw him anymore. Never have done. But you see, the shepherd's responsibility and part of leadership responsibility is to guard the flock. You know? And sometimes, and the problem is, you see, people come in with these words and they are pleasant, nice to us, and we think, "Oh, great, yeah." But it will lead you down, it could, if it's not from God, it could lead you down a wrong pathway and take you off the target, because that's the easy road. You know, this one that the Lord has us on is a little bit more challenging. But on the road that he takes us, he's taking us on a journey that will equip us for greater victories, right? And spiritual warfare for you and I is that we become equipped to take on principalities and powers and bring them down to bow the knee to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most important thing that we have to get hold of is this book, this Bible. Because this is the sword, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And when the Spirit brings up things from the Word of God, you use it. And it destroys the work of the enemy. We even say silly things like, "Oh, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that." Why are you worried? Scripture says, be anxious for nothing. And yet we're worried. And I know, jokingly, I mean, Louise, bless her, when she says something that we say, "No, that's not. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I say, "For goodness sake, will you stop saying, 'I am sorry'?" You know. But you see, when people get into that situation historically where they've been made to feel inadequate, you know what I'm trying to say, and then all of a sudden, when they're being set free, but these things still tag along for a while. "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." For goodness sake, will you stop saying that? There's nothing to be sorry for. There's a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah. You know, and we know that you're journeying with us. We know that we've got children with us. Yeah. They might be 70-year-old. Might be 80-year-old. Whatever it happens to be, but they're our children.
Yeah.
And we have a responsibility to help them journey the journey and catch up.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, you know, don't think we're going to knock you down, but we will pull you on one side and tell you if it's wrong. But do you know why? Because we love you.
Amen.
We love you with the everlasting love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Word of God is important. So don't worry. Rejoice in the Lord. In everything, give thanks.
Amen.
Because it's the will of God for you to do these things. You know, Jesus said that by his stripes we're healed. There's nothing to be afraid of. Be reminded that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Be reminded that he's our warrior and that he stands in the gap for us. He stands there before the throne of God, interceding, pleading your case before Almighty God. And he's never lost a case yet. Hallelujah. He's a total winner. And so, you know, I'm encouraging you tonight that in this form, and when we begin moving more into spiritual warfare, and I'm not rushing this because I know some of you are like, I'm really not sure what he's talking about at times. It's okay. I understand that. No, look, but I realize that, and even when I was a teenager in church, we were not doing spiritual warfare. Were we? It was... the church I was in at times, it was, Lord, if it be thy will. Well, when I suddenly got that revelation, well, you need to look in your Bible and find out what the will of God is. Then. That was my answer. If it be thy will. No. Jesus didn't say that. Did Jesus ever say that? If it be thy will? Oh, that's different. Thy will be done. Not if it be thy will be done. That's a different. Is that not right? Is that different?
Yes.
Altogether? Isn't it? You see, if is a word of doubt. Isn't it? If you think you can do this. See, there's doubt in that if. Don't be of the tribe of the if-ads.
No.
You know, if I'd only done this, if I'd only said that, if I'd only, if I'd. Leave that tribe alone. See, Jesus wasn't part of the tribe of the if-ads. No. Thy will be done. That's a positive confession, and that is a proclamation that I'm agreeing with you, Lord, that thy will be done. I'm agreeing. That's a sign of agreement. You know? And the Bible, Jesus taught, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the very midst of you. Whoa, there's more than two or three of us. And so we have to realize the importance that right now Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. And it's so exciting. That this is what it's about, you see. That right now, your angels are sat outside of you. And they're learning. And they're waiting for what you've got to say to them. You see, they're your angels. I've got mine. You've got yours. You use them. But, what do you mean? Well, they're at your command. The Bible teaches in Psalm 5, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Who's the heir of salvation?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, in the psalm it says, God has made man. Well, if you read the King James, it says, God has made man a little lower than the angels. Well, actually, that's a mistranslation. Yeah, no, it's not. But it is in the King James. It was a mistranslation because we didn't want to make ourselves feel greater than the angels, these supernatural beings. But actually, we are. Because the Bible teaches that they are ministering spirits sent from heaven. Sent from God himself, from the very throne room, to minister to you, to assist you in your daily walk, in your daily journey, with the Word of God in your life. Yeah, I mean... The Bible, you know, talks about Jesus. You know, Satan says to him that I went through it before. He says, you know, if you cast yourself off here, then he says, you dash your foot against the rock, they'll catch you and protect you, and they would. You know, there's that whole image. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could. Yeah, he wouldn't have needed 10,000, by the way, but he could. But you see, he was on a journey and a purpose because he saw you 2,000 years later here. Because if that didn't happen, you and I would not be here today. And so we have to realize what we say, how we act, the fact that God, believe it or not, God has made available everything for us. Everything's been made available. The problem is we haven't yet got hold of it all. That's right, we do put limits on. You know, because I know that we used to say historically that there'll be where, you'll get to heaven one day and the angel will start taking you around, and all of a sudden there's this big, great big warehouse type building, and you say, what's in there? Well, in there is all the stuff that was set on side for you, but you never asked for it. You what? Yeah, it was waiting for you to just call upon God's provision for your life, your circumstance, whatever you were involved in. Now, look at it on that line, you know. God's provision is there available for us. Everything's there. Huh? Well, that's right. I mean, this provision. We didn't have a building. We didn't have the money to buy a building, to get a mortgage, to get this sort of a building. But guess what? It was already set on one side 25 years previously. What we need to do is continue to keep believing God and pull it down. Lord, we need it. We believe in you, God. That's a form of spiritual warfare, because we're not backing down from God's promises to us. Right? We've not got to back down. Our spiritual warfare is, I'm taking ground. I'm taking possession of what God has given to me. And that's what each and every one of us has to do. And the church has to take possession. You know, people keep trying to tell me, oh, well, you know, the church is going to have to go into hiding and et cetera, et cetera. Now, I read the Bible, I've read the end of the book, and it says the church is a glorious bride. She ain't hiding in a cave. She's not wearing rags. She's glorious. Now, to me, now I'm hoping my understanding's right, but to me, a glorious bride is something that shines. Every eye's looking at her. Every eye's focused upon her. And as soon as she walks in, everybody goes, "Whoa, look at that!" That's what the real church of Jesus Christ should be like. A church of power and authority. A church that actually displays something of heaven. Yeah. Heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yeah. Where?
On earth.
In here. This earth. And when this earth begins to magnify and reflect heaven, people look and say, what is it about you? It's called heaven on earth. Heaven in earth, living, breathing in you and in me. And that living, breathing heaven in earth is our protection as well. And we need to stand on these promises. You know, the world today is full of fear, 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 fear. I listened to the news tonight. Well, some of it. Oh my God. It won't change, does it? Fear, fear, fear. And I'm thinking, no. I'm standing on the promises of God's word. I'm here for a purpose. God has a plan for me, and God will fulfill it. And I've just got to stay in that word. I've just got to stay in his promises. I've got to be... We all know we have to be sensible, but hey, let's be bold and sensible.
Yeah.
Let's be radical and sensible. Yeah. Well, you know, that's with a small S, that basically, but radicals with a capital R. Let's be radical for Jesus. Let's be those that are the ones who are the prime movers. You might not have your name in lights. You might not. I'm not interested in that. I want to hear when I get into that very presence of God, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Because what we have down here is it'll be put in the balance, tested, weighed, and thrown in the furnace, and seen, tested by fire. What's left? Not a lot, but my salvation. That'll stand the test of fire. Hallelujah. You know, all your money, your cars, your houses, everything, all that will burn down. But that which is eternal, that which is spiritual, it has already been tested in the fire and will last for eternity. Praise his wonderful name. You know, Satan's confined to the fire.
Yeah.
it was designed and fitted out for him. It wasn't built for the saints. It wasn't built for humanity. So don't get into that. You know, you and I are called to defeat Satan through Christ Jesus. You see, because we are to walk in the footsteps of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And on the cross, he defeated the enemy, Satan. And so we just have to walk in those same footsteps. And as we walk in those same footsteps, we'll see Satan being defeated constantly every day. Every time we get up, Satan panics and thinks, oh, Shirley's awake again. What am I going to do? You know, Michelle's awake. What am I going to do? You better get running. Because the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is beginning to flow and beginning to move. You see, that's another subject that we're going to be speaking on shortly. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. With power.
Amen.
With power. And it brings that authority. That you stand on the Word of God. And as we pray, we declare. And we begin to declare the thoughts of heaven. You see, because through the Holy Spirit, you see, when I was baptized in the Spirit, we were always sort of said, you know, you need to be speaking in tongues, brother. Come here, brother, let me lay hands on you. And we'd, you know, they'd shake you till you were, and they'd rub your head until you were nearly bald, like Stephen. Yeah. That's what happens, you see. And did you remember them days? You know. Come on, louder, brother, louder, louder, you know. And then they nearly say it. Yeah, they would nearly say it for you. And I remember being prayed for a couple of times for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I had a drink, you know. I'll put it that way. And I remember I went to a convention. I was on the motorbike. I was looking for this church, this little church in Maltby. It was around a back alley, weren't it? You remember it?
Yeah.
Blinking it. And when I mean back alleys, I mean back alleys. Didn't you even think there were a road down there? I was behind bank. The wooden up basically just about. And, well, I couldn't find this building. So I'm about to go home. I've had enough. I've ridden up and down and meetings well on its way, afternoon meeting. So I'm going to go home. And all of a sudden, on the bike, I felt this. Oh, blinking it. Flat tyre. I got a punctured on the rear. So I pull in at this garage on Doncaster Road. And there I am, greased up to eyeballs, fitting a new inner tube. And this is in the afternoon, meeting's finished. He's had his tea. He's having a walk for a few minutes. And my pastor comes by, Pastor Beals. Hello, son, what are you doing here? Well, I said, I'm looking for the church. I said, and then I get a puncture. He said, well, just down here. They gave me directions. I thought, oh, well. So I managed to degrease myself because, you know, chains and everything. I mean, black as the hat, basically. And then I go into church, you see. And I'm sat at the very back, next to the door leading out. And the pastor there said, tonight, at the end of this meeting, we're going to have a receiving service for the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't do that on a Saturday evening. It was in the break after tea where they'd have a session, wouldn't they? That was then everybody else got an opportunity. But for some reason, he said, tonight. And the moment he said it, I went, bang, it's me. It's my time. I knew it. Something popped in me. A light went on. I knew it. And it was John Shelbourne that was speaking. I haven't got a clue what he said. All that kept going through my mind was, hurry up and sit down. Hurry up and sit down. Hurry up and sit down. Because I knew. And I didn't know nothing, but I knew that it was going to happen. And I tell you what, as soon as I got into the back room, there was myself and two others. Came and laid hands on me. Boof! And I was going. I was absolutely speaking in tongues, praising God, you know, and that was my real anointed baptism. And then the next bit came. A little bit later, I had to go home. Drunk as a skunk on two wheels. You know the road going back to Edlington. There's a Adam Altby, there's a dip and then a sharp 90-degree bend, isn't there? Camber's the wrong way. I'm belting along there in the dark, glory to God, praising God, speaking in tongues, having a wonderful time. And then suddenly, I suddenly realised, oh, there's a bend here, isn't there? I tell you what, the angels must have been on duty that night, because they must have been going, keep him up, get him round. I don't know how I got round there. Honestly, I haven't got a clue, but I did. I got round, glory to Jesus, and I'm still here. But that was my real baptism. I'd had a taste, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, you know. But I want a good drink. I want to be full.
That's right.
And overflowing. And that's what God wants for you.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got, if you're not full and overflowing, keep coming back until you are, until you get it. I'm serious about it. Well, there you go. So, you know, we need to be pressing in for the things of God and moving forward. You know, when the enemy speaks into your life, brings doubt, fear and unbelief, you need to fire back.
Amen.
What did you say? This is what God told me. And you begin to speak the word of God. You begin to declare the word of God. Corinthians, second book of Corinthians, chapter 10, from verse 4 through to verse 6. New Testament, second book of Corinthians, chapter 10. I know you'll be able to listen, re-listen online as well. But it says this. For the weapons of our warfare are not of this flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What sort of fortresses? Spiritual fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that rises up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. And here we are. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations. You know, the devil, speculation is when he's bringing doubts.
Yeah.
Bringing a bit of unbelief. Yeah. Well, you're too old to be doing that now. You should be relaxing and taking it easy. And No. Moses started at 80.
Yeah.
He spent 40 years and he led 2 million plus people for 40 years through the wilderness to the edge of the promised land. Joshua, he started at 80. He led them into the promised land.
Amen.
And some folk might say, well, they lived longer. Well, the Bible tells us how long we can live for, 120 years. I know some folk will tell you, no, it's only 70. No, it's not. God's promise was after the flood. Said 120 years shall be the span of man's life. The psalmist was having a bad day when he said 70 years. He was feeling sorry for himself. Well, whichever one it was, but anyway, we have to realize that God's word is that we shall live.
Yes.
And the promises of God are true. And so we have to take things that are coming against us, doubt, unbelief, and we begin to speak against them. When we push them back.
Yeah.
Fear creeps up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it'll even come knocking at your door. I'm trying. You know, when I quit a certain situation and I was gradually getting through it, because it was a tremendous trauma to me in one sense. I'd left a church after 50 years. I'd left a family. I'd left a ministry. I'd left everything. I'd got nothing left. Everything I had, if you want, you could say, all of my identity was now gone. Because that's what I did. I'd already quit my job. It was gone. All my identity is gone. And on top of that, all my so-called friends had gone. I was just left with Grace. And she had a job and she still had her, you know. But for me, I'm stood in the middle of nowhere. I was a nobody, stood in the middle of nowhere, with nowhere to go. And I'm like, and it was winter time, and there was nothing to do even practically. And I'm like, I'd work my way through some of this, and then suddenly somebody would come and visit. And when they'd be gone, I was ready just about to commit suicide. And this was a Christian. I'm like, you know. And it got to a point that it seemed to be that every time I was sort of rising up and getting over this and, you know, coming to the top, getting my way through this, that this person had arrived in the car. And the last time they came, I saw the car turn up and I went and hid in the bedroom and drew the curtains. And I refused to answer the doorbell. I thought, it's like the devil calling on me. He knows exactly when to knock on the door. He knows when to say. And sometimes he uses Christians. He feeds them enough because, you know, they like a bit of gossip now and again. See, that's demonic. Bit of gossip. Hey, have you heard about this? So and so. And off you go. So I hid. And I made a decision. That was it. No more. And I moved on. And God then began to reveal some more things to me. And I began to understand what had happened. But I had to fight through a spiritual battle. I had to go through this. That my identity is not Harvest Fields Ministries. My identity is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that, I'm nothing. That's who I am. I mean, I've got a friend who at the moment is struggling with their identity. Because what they've been doing and what they've built, that is them. And they have openly said, well, if we haven't got that, who are we? You're a child of the King. You're a high priest unto God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Yeah. You are special.
Yeah, I am.
Don't matter what anybody else says.
Don't care.
Because their words are not everlasting.
No.
They are not everlasting in that sense, because the Father is everlasting. Jesus is everlasting. The Spirit is everlasting. And we in that relationship are everlasting. And He's the one that seals us and approves us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, He gave birth to each and every one of us. And so when the enemy comes in, and he can come in different guises. He can come in with people who you think are Christian friends. And, you know, and when they're gone, you're in the mullygrubs. You know, you're like, I don't know why I bother. You know, I just lay down and die. It'll be a lot easier, won't it? You know, and there you go. And next thing, you're on a downer. That's not what God wants. Wants you that you're coming up, you see, because you're victory. You're people of victory. You're people with a promise. But the promise comes from the book. The promise comes in knowing your relationship with the Father. It comes from knowing Him whom to know is life eternal. And so we rejoice, we praise God, and realize that God will bring us through. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not fleshly. It's not about these fleshly things. You see, these people that come along don't even realize they're being used as tools of the devil. Some people open their mouth and you think, wow, where did that come from? Right from the pit. They've been drinking from the pit. You see, the problem is, they've not been in this book.
That's right.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, this word, the word of God, is this healing, this delivering power to each and every one of us. And you see, this is your initial spiritual warfare for yourself. Because you have to become prepared. You have to be made ready for warfare. You don't just send out a load of kids with a few swords and a few guns and say, hey, go and sort it all out. You train them. You prepare people for battle.
Yep.
You prepare the church so that the church is ready, so that when the battle comes against us, if the battle begins to rage, we just pull together. Like the Roman soldiers did, and they linked the shields and there they were. And the battle, and they move forward together in one accord. Like the disciples. You see, when the disciples were in the upper room, it says there they were in one accord in the book of Acts. Same place, same time, together in unity, waiting for the power.
Amen.
Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait until you receive power. No, I didn't say spirit. No. You see, you did it again, didn't you? Love you. You see, this is where historically we've got it wrong. Because a lot of times it's, well, for the gift of tongues, that's what you come for, isn't it? And most people said, yeah, we come for the gift of tongues. And that's all you got. That's why the church went, because we didn't come for what God told us to come for, to wait for the power of the Spirit. You see? That's the difference. You come just so you can speak in another tongue and praise God, which is great, don't get me wrong. It's wonderful. But it's the power, is what Jesus said. And so often we miss it. Oh, come and so you'll be filled with the Spirit and you speak in tongues. And so we want the outward evidence, which is great. But what's inward is what matters. And it's that empowering within us that then manifests itself. And people are healed. Blind eyes are opened. The deaf are made to hear. The lame are made to walk. Hallelujah. The dead are raised. Come on, hallelujah. You know, these things are for us. They're in the book. I'm not making up stories. They're there. Lay hands on the sick and they might recover. Is that what it says? No, it says they shall. This is part of the warfare. We are in warfare to deliver the captives, to set the captives free. We're in warfare to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. It is all some form of warfare. And the church of God should be on the advance, not on the retarding. should be on the advancing, that we're advancing the kingdom of God into people's lives. The trouble is, you know, when you get like that, when you become that radical, people will switch you off. Yeah, they'll run away from you. But that's okay. Because I'm not watering it down. Life's too short for me to water down what God's given me and then me get to heaven and God say, why did you do that? Why did you not do what I told you to do? And do you think I'm going to argue with God? I'd rather argue with you lot than argue with God. At least I'll say, well, God, I tell you as I thought and I believed it was. They disagreed with me. Hey, you deal with them. See, ultimately, we're answerable to God. And the Word guides us as to what and how we should do things. And so we stand on this Word. We stand on the promise of this Word. You know, when we pray, we need to be praying the Word of God. And I told you the other week about, I'm saying the other week, it's before Christmas now, ain't it, probably, about Ephesians. Put in your name in there. You know, where it says, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Who's got the Bible open? Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Come on, see if you beat me to it. Who's got it? I can't hear you. Loud or loud. Wait a minute, John. John. It's got to go on. Shout up, John.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Is that what it says?
Hath blessed us already.
Yeah. Are you sure that's what it says?
Yeah.
Because what I read in my Bible, it says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed Andrew with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Just as Andrew chose. Just as David chose, the Lord chose us before the established the foundation of the world, that David should be holy without blame before him in love.
Amen. You see? It's written to you, for you, and you need to learn to use it for you. You need to confess this word. Because as you confess this word, it empowers you, it emboldens you, and it pushes back the principalities and powers. They realize suddenly that, hey, what's this that Ava's got hold of? Yeah. When Jesus spoke the words of healing, he's speaking healing into being. When he's speaking to the person with no eyes, when he takes the mud and he makes mud, spits into the dust and makes mud and puts it out on the eyes of that man, he says, now go and wash. He had no eyes. And he saw. He was given eyes. Speaking it into being. You know, when it came to the five loaves and two fishes, he prayed and he blessed it. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Just blessed it. Yeah, well, I mean, Amen. Well, why don't we? You know, let's do these things because God is faithful to his word and to his promise. And they, you know, they took up 12 baskets full. We didn't start with 12 baskets. They started with a basket.
Yeah.
Oh, this kid's got his packed lunch in his little lunch basket. That's all he got. They started with a lunch basket and ended up with great big 12 baskets. It's like, what happened? Well, heaven on earth.
Amen.
But it has to be spoken out and then it has to be enacted out.
Yeah.
It has. You know, and folks say, oh, you can't believe it happened like that. Well, you're going to call God a liar?
Yeah.
You're going to call God a liar?
Liar?
Well, this is it. You know, this God can do these things. I mean, I told you a story. We ran out of petrol in a car going uphill.
Yeah.
I was fuming. I had more fumes in me than the car had got in its tank. And I just braved the dashboard and said, in the name of Jesus, go! And this car took off. And we got to where the destination was. And I got out and I thought, well, I don't care. You can stop now. I'm not bothered. I've got to where I need to be. So you can't do them things. I did. This is part of the joy and the excitement of coming to Christ and living by faith. See, living by faith is not just going without, say, oh, well, I haven't got a job, so I'm trusting God. No. It's more than that.
Yes.
It is about this relationship with Him. And when Jesus says, oh, I want you to go and pray for this person who's just died, He says, ooh, wait a minute. You did that, Lord. But I'm not you. But greater things shall you do in my name. So, and if you're going to fulfill the commission, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, you're going to have to find a dead body. Yeah? We prayed for three. Hallelujah. One of them's still here today. How many years are we talking? I've forgotten. 16. 16 years later, she's still alive. That's the power. That's trusting and believing God that we said, okay, we're going to believe God. We have to do. We're not letting her go. Glory to God. Daft as it seems, we had a cat years ago. She got about 10 years old. And, you know, you can tell when there's something wrong. Off to the vet, she's off her food. Just doesn't have that sparkle anymore. Something wrong. Better do some tests. Kidneys have failed. Maximum 6 months. Just feed her whatever it'll manage and that's it. There's nothing we can do. And I remember one night the cat sort of came and didn't normally do this, but she came and laid on the bed. And honestly, I looked at that animal and I said, tonight's the night. It was as if she would come to say, I'm about to go. You know. Well, Grace and I just said, hang on. We tell the kids in Sunday school when we were Sunday school teachers, you know, God can heal your pets and so on. And we had these kids believe in this. And we pray for the children's dog, cat, hamster, rabbit, what have you, and expect God to heal these, you know, whatever. And then when we grow up, can't do that anymore, can you?
Yeah.
So we decided we'd become children again. So we prayed and laid hands on our cat. The next morning, we woke up and the cat's there.
Good morning.
Looking at me. Absolutely, you know, I'm like, whoa. I looked at the cat, I looked into its eyes and I said, she's healed. Took her back to the vets with a water sample. He went and did his test. Came back in. Came from the side. Coming like this. I don't understand it. Can't understand it. He says, take her away. She's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. Just don't understand it. Don't take her away. She's all right. And I'm trying to go and tell him what happened. You know, and he's gone. She lived another 9 years. 9 years. You see, don't tell me you can't do it for animals. Don't tell me. Don't. Because you see, I've gone and done these silly things. As far as some of the church people are concerned, I think it's stupid. God made these animals for our pleasure. God gave us dominion over the animals. To care for them. That word means to care, protect, to look after. I've got a Bengali tiger in heaven waiting for me. Hallelujah. Charlie will be arguing with it, like, but... But these, you know, these are the things that God wants you to realize they are true. The spiritual world is more real than the natural world. And you and I have to take that on board and realize that. Time has flown, hasn't it? This next week, read through Ephesians, chapter 1. Particularly, just chapter 1 will be fine. But put your name in. Where it says us, mark it. If you've got a highlighter, just mark it. Or underline it, us. Ephesians 1, from 1 through to 23. I mean, even then, if you get into Ephesians 2, and verse 4 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love which He has loved Andrew." His great love, His great mercy, because He loves Andrew. He loves Louise, you see. And this will, you know, some people can have a low self-esteem. This builds up.
Yes.
You are treasured. You are valuable to God. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and God loves you, and God wants to use you. You're a diamond in the process of being prepared for a great setting. Whatever the setting is. Might be on a mission somewhere that suddenly God's going to cause you to be used. Might be here just right now that God's going to use you mightily, putting you in that setting. Hallelujah. And preparing you for victory and glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I've still got 2 pages left and I'm not finished on it yet. Well, a page and a half. We've just done half a page tonight. But I am so excited of this and the future. And as I have looked back, sorry Louise, a moment, as I have looked back, you know, it came, as I said, just before we left the house and saw the goals that had been set and ticked them off. I thought, well, yeah. And we faced a pandemic and we've come through. And God has added to us. You know? God's done it. We just stayed to the promises. And you know, God's going to use you to add to His church. Praise God. And we thank God for that. We thank God for Ian right now as well. There he is taking on the video camera. It's a blessing. It really is, isn't it? Because a lot of you really listen, don't you?
Yeah.
You can have a look at our pretty faces. And or if you want, just speak to Ian and say, can you just blur them a bit so they look, you know. If you put us into blur mode, Ian, it gets rid of the wrinkles, you know. If you put it on right sharp, it makes us look, some of us old and wrinkly. So, but hallelujah. But we're not. Our hearts are not old and wrinkly. Our spirit is not old and wrinkly. We are just, yeah, we are fresh, being renewed day by day through the power of a living Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Good to see you all tonight. I hope this has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. You know, we've got a full year ahead of us. We have a year of challenge, but we have a year of victory. Amen. A year of victory. And we're going to have our year without fear. Let's have a year without fear. The world might live in fear, but we ain't going to have a year without fear. The bird says, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, for lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. I better stop, otherwise I'm just... Yeah, you can, yeah, microphone's on.
You saw Caesar. He was with us on Sunday night. Well, when he came down to come with us, he hadn't got a coat on. So I said to somebody, he needs a coat on, it's not very warm out there. So they brought a coat down, and one of the care managers, she's not the main manager, she's an under manager, he looks after care, was putting his coat on. Well, he's down his left-hand side, he's almost paralyzed completely. But I watched her, and she says, she put her hand up his coat sleeve, says, come on, get hold of my hand. She says, you're not holding my hand, get hold of my hand. So she pulled his hand out, and then she says, come on, let's have an arm wrestle. And so she arm wrestled him, sort of thing. Says, now when you go to church, ask him to pray that God put some strength in your leg. When he walks out of that chair, she'll be the most surprised woman going. But praise God.
Amen. Yeah. You see, even in the home, the word, the testimony is going out. It's big, the seeds are going out, being planted, and they are going to get shocks. Good shocks, that is, you know. They're going to have to come and see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for themselves. Hallelujah. That's great. Wonderful testimony, that even the unsaved are going to give glory to God. They don't know why, but all glory goes to Him. Praise His name. A minister friend of ours in the States, he had this GC, he had this cartoon character, and he's got sort of a big fat belly, and he was holding his belly, and he was laughing, and the caption was, "The devil said what?" You know, and that's what we've got to do. The devil said what? You see, the devil's never read the word. He knows, you see, what the devil does, he misquotes the word, you see. So he doesn't know the word, he's heard some of it, but always ends up misquoting it, you see. Well, you and I, we just keep correcting him. And when we quote it right, it backfires on him. And he has to back off, and he's backing off, and backing off. And you are a people of blessings. You are a people appointed for blessings in God. Amen. The Lord bless you. Father, right now, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your power that is available through your word, through your spirit. And Father, we pray, Lord, as we step forward together in these coming months, days and weeks, never mind the months, Lord, that there would be a real anointing upon each and every one of us. And Father, there will be a desire to seek you and to, Lord, to be filled with the Spirit of God, with the power of God, and even, Lord, then the manifestation of tongues. That, Lord, we will be a church that, Lord, declares the name of Jesus with signs, wonders, and miracles, Father, and we shall not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus and what He does. Hallelujah. We will declare the name of the Lord, and the declaring the blessings, the presence, the power, and all that is good
in Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Father, I pray, Lord, that tonight as we go home, you protect each and every one of us. Bring us back together on Sunday, rejoicing and praising you, Lord, with testimonies of good things that you've already done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you all. Hallelujah. Praise God.